Welcome back to Cocktails and Classics. I'm Dylan. Joining me, as always, are Ben, Zach, and Cam.
Yep.
Hi.
And this week, we're continuing our April Fool's Month with Ben's movie of choice.
Oh, are you supposed to pass that off to me? It's Super Babies, Baby Geniuses 2.
Ben and I both had chosen the same movie, but I let Ben have this one, and I feel like I should have kept it if I was going for the dub this month.
If you wanted the April Fool's dub, yeah, this would have been the time to do it.
To kick things off and get everybody in the right mood, I'm going to give it back to Ben to explain the cocktail for this week.
So, to find a baby-themed cocktail is hard because a lot of the times when you try to look them up, they're all mocktails, so they're all non-alcoholic. So what I did is took one of those and added alcohol, you know, like a problem drinker would. So there was a cocktail called a Bellini. It's a play on Bellini, but with belly, because, you know, that's
where babies. The baby.
Yeah, exactly. That adds up. And the mocktail recipe was, I believe it was for like a punch bowl, so it was obviously more, but it was like one part apple juice, one part peach juice, and then top with club soda, and then add simple syrup to taste. So what I did was one part apple juice, one part peach whiskey, top with club soda. I didn't add any simple syrup. I don't think it needed any more sugar. I think it was more than enough as it was. They're good. They're sweet. They feel very summery, which is weird when it's, you know, gray and rainy outside right now in April, but here we are. But I would recommend it. They're good. Very tasty.
It sounds delicious.
It's fruity. You can probably have like one or two. If you're like me and you drink alcoholic drinks that are too sugary and your stomach gets upset, then, you know, leave it at the one or two. Too much sugar. But they are very tasty.
Check the show notes below if you want to make a Bellini. That sounds awful to say. Hit up the Drizzly and Casker links and have it delivered directly to your door. You can check out Super Baby Geniuses. Super Babies, Baby Geniuses 2. Nowhere. So, good luck. And it's probably for the better, you know? The less the world knows that this movie exists, the better.
Damn, he's right.
And we are going to spoil it, though it came out, you know, 18 years ago now.
Also, is there really much to spoil?
Yeah. There's the whole plot line that we saw, like, 10 minutes into the movie.
Oh, yeah, the one that any competent adult could figure out pretty quick.
Well, they're all babies, so. Understandable.
Adult. Shit. You right.
No, there's only one adult baby in this movie. Everyone else is a normal baby. Well, not normal baby. A baby genius, but they are not 60-year-olds.
Whoa. Spoilers.
Super Babies, Baby Geniuses 2 is a 2004 family sci-fi comedy film. Directed by Bob Clark, who also directed Porky's and A Christmas Story, gave us this masterpiece, written by Robert Grazmier, Francesca Matos, and Stephen Paul. Stars John Voight, Scott Baio, Vanessa Angel, Skylar Shea, who played Kylie, and I learned is John Voight's goddaughter. So
that checks out.
That's probably why she was casted.
Yeah, that adds up.
And then the other guy we kind of thought we knew was Peter Wingfield, who played the henchman guy.
Yeah, I think he's just he's a very big character actor. Like one of those guys that's like in a lot of, like, you wouldn't recognize him for any particular thing, but he's in a bunch of stuff. Or he just has one of those faces.
I think it's one of those faces, because I looked it up and I didn't know much he was in. The kid who plays Zach was in quite a few things. Justin Chatwin.
Never heard of him. What all was he?
He's in like War of the Worlds, the 2005 one. He was in Weeds for
Ooh,
a long weeds. Time. He was in the Chips remake, Shameless, Super Baby Geniuses. It's so like
the title's confusing.
Super Babies, Baby Geniuses 2.
Yeah,
there's too many babies in the title.
Yeah, so here's the weird thing, right? Is I feel like I would expect Super Babies to come after Baby Geniuses 2 because it's supposed to be a sequel. And then you usually have the subtitle of the sequel after. But this is Super Babies, Baby Geniuses 2. It seems like it should be Baby Geniuses 2, Super Baby.
It's the story of a group of smart-talking toddlers find themselves at the center of a media mogul's experiment to crack the code to baby talk. The toddlers must race against time for the sake of babies everywhere. Currently sits at a 2.1 out of 10 on IMDb. It is on the IMDb's bottom 250.
Yeah, pretty far down there. It's like number so I'm looking at the IMDb bottom 100 and it's number 4 on this list.
So wow,
it's very far down there. It barely edges out The Hottie and the Naughty, House of the Dead, Son of the Mask, Saving Christmas, in the Epic Movie.
I never saw Son of the Mask.
It's Jamie Kennedy's finest outing.
Whoa. How dare you shade Malibu's Most Wanted like that?
I was just kidding. Yeah, and you know the three movies that it edges out, one of them we won the contest last year, which is Birdemic Shock and Terror, is technically worse than this movie on IMDb.
Man.
I don't
know. So here's the thing.
You don't know? Come on.
So here's
that movie
the thing.
Was definitely worse.
Here's the thing. Birdemic, watching it, you feel is just a terrible low budget movie.
Yeah,
this movie seems like it has a legitimate budget and it's still fucking
awful.
It had a
$20 million budget, so
that makes it worse.
Oh, I mean, it's definitely kind of trade-offs, because I mean the Birdemic is just so bad. There's no charming elements to Birdemic, but it is at its essence a low budget indie movie that some random people made and is obviously like dog shit, you know? Like, that's clear.
This movie feels like the writers had some sort of blackmail on someone at a studio and was like, you're gonna make this movie? And they're like, I guess we have to.
Yeah, I feel like with these types of movies, they could be done in kind of a clever way where it's like, maybe it's not so bad, but this one is bad.
When you start CGI-ing like the mouth moving onto a baby a few minutes in. I've
I couldn't
lost
believe
all
that.
Hope.
So I'm on this awful movies wiki. And it has 14 reasons why this movie is so bad. So I'm just going to list some of them off and we can kind of discuss from here. So number one, I mean, this is kind of general, is it tries to cash in on the success of other superior superhero films at the time, but ends up being bland and uninspired. Sure. This one is, once again, the babies act more like adults than actual babies, which is still more disturbing than funny. It's so weird to see them act, like, even the children, like, even the babies that weren't 60 years old. Well, so first off, there's that, right? Is like,
there's a
one of the babies
a grown
is, like,
adult
60.
Trapped at the age of, like,
but
sore.
I wouldn't even call him a baby, like, that.
Yeah.
That child looks
he's
to be...
He's a big kid to a toddler.
He's like a big toddler, right? Like, he's a big toddler, it seems like.
I feel like they just found a kid who looked like he was still young, but that kid's clearly, like, almost a teenager or something.
This also notes horrible acting from both the babies and adults. I don't know how you can really fault the babies for bad acting, but... I mean, they're babies, right? Like, they're small children.
I feel like the whole premise of trying to get babies to act, but not act just as being a baby, is not super plausible.
It's an insane ask, especially when you have them doing dialogue. Like, you have these babies doing dialogue, and then, for one of the babies, he was so bad at the lip-syncing stuff, because he's a baby, you know, that they had to, like, CGI a mouth onto him. It's horrible.
It's so bad.
It looked so bad.
They set themselves up for failure, I feel like, with that plot, that it's like, all right, here's babies. They got to be super smart, and then they're supposed to carry the entire movie as being these smart talking babies where like they have semi like the that's the first thing you when you're introduced to them, they have like this like super intelligent conversation where they're talking about, I don't even remember.
They're talking about like World War One history.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the weird, I think this movie would have been a lot better as a cartoon because,
yeah, like Boss Baby.
Yeah, I mean, obviously Boss Baby is a meme too, but you know, like it's like, oh, you have this baby who talks. It's not nearly as weird or uncanny in a cartoon.
I feel like
or an animated
Boss
movie.
Baby's a meme to us because we're adults trying to comprehend it, but as a child, it's a kid's movie, so like, checks out. Yeah, yeah. This is a kid's movie would be better if it were a cartoon.
And again, like, it would not be something even so adults enjoy, which would be fine, right? Like, a lot of kids' stuff does not have anything for adults, which is totally okay.
They definitely try, though, with some of the jokes.
Yeah,
they do.
Like,
the Mike Tyson?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That... okay, Miss Tyson, don't bite my ear off. Okay. What was the other one? Oh, who's your designer? Spider-Man?
Yeah.
Okay. All
right. This movie had to have been a cash grab, right?
Oh, for sure.
Get something out there real fast. Put kids in it. Hope kids go see it.
So they tried to play off of the original Baby Geniuses, which is an interesting move considering that the original one was also panned.
Didn't it also come out
universally?
Nineties. Yeah. Wasn't it like?
Yeah.
Was it 99? I thought it was 97. Yeah. I was like, it was 7 years before.
So. Another thing is that, yeah, it has no connection to the first movie. So despite it being a sequel, there's only a couple characters that are mentioned in the film, and that's it. In fact, there's actually, in the advertising for the movie, there's a character that appears on the poster, but he's not actually in the film. And he's only mentioned one time, which is so odd.
You're talking about the movie? Like this movie?
Yeah, this movie. Yeah, apparently when they were advertising it, there was a baby on the cover that's not, straight up not in this movie.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at the one on IMDb, like the general one they have, and like Rosalita, was that her name?
Yeah, oh, she's not even on here.
She's not even on the poster.
She's not even on the poster. Yeah, that's a good point. And also this article mentions, as I noted in the film, that... Bouncing Boy's uniform looks way too similar to that of the ball from the Pixar short Luxo Jr. I was like, that's the Toy Story ball. What the hell? Yeah. Oh, and Whoopi Goldberg was just in the movie for like 5 seconds and some random boy band from Orlando. That's why they're called O-Town, by the way.
No, not just some random band. They were the winners of the first season of Making the Band, which was the MTV show. Wasn't Diddy involved in that?
Yes.
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure.
I never saw the show.
It was about making a boy band.
Yeah.
Like, creating. I mean, you'd think if you had those guys in there, you would actually, like, have had a song. There was never, like, they did that one thing where they were like, Kahuna, we're, like, making a theme song for you. And they like, harmonized, basically, for, like,
yeah, that was the whole point of their cameo.
Like, they never actually, like, played an O-Town song that they made for Kahuna, which I feel like is the whole reason you would have that cameo.
I mean, they had that cameo to go people, so have people go see it, probably. Like, oh my god, Whoopi's in it? Oh my god, O-Town's in it?
I'm like, oh my god, who?
And Whoopi, yeah. And Whoopi's 30 seconds of screen time was the best acting in the entire movie.
Oh, I mean, that's true. All of the actors in this movie, even John Voight, was terrible. Awful.
Yeah.
John Voight was maybe one of the worst actors in this whole movie.
Yeah. Because I think part of it is that
his
role
was
he could
so
do
stupid.
So much better.
Yeah, his role was also just so fucking stupid. And he can definitely do way better. But in this, it's so bad. It's like, he's constantly like berating children in the movie. You know, like, and nobody bats an eye. No one's like, hey, why are you yelling at that 2-year-old?
Yeah, I feel like that was half of his lines were just him yelling at some baby.
And none of the guards at any point in time questioned this. They're like, why are you messing? Why is this baby your mortal enemy, dude? This is
weird.
Man,
I'm just here to get my paycheck and to go home.
I mean, that's
but also
fair.
The fact that those all of the grown henchmen were so incompetent that none of them could do anything against a fucking child. Like, bro, come on. Like, well, these dudes were just so... Their fighting was so... The fight scenes were so bad. Like, just don't even put them in. Just don't do it. They look terrible.
No, it's bad. And even in the first one where you're introduced to, like, you know, Kahuna, where he's, like, drinking this potion, right? Which basically turns him into a weird version of the Hulk. And... All the guards are just, like, standing around him with guns, just looking at him the whole time. They could have, like, apprehended him or... I mean, not saying you should shoot a baby, of course, but, like...
I am.
You know, they're guards. If you think this is a real threat, you know, you're like, oh... They could have, like, stopped him.
First ladies.
All I'm saying is, if you had a time machine, would you go back and kill baby Hitler? That's all I'm saying.
The real point of this whole podcast episode.
Yeah. And it is interesting too, because I feel like this also came at the tail end of the that time period where, like, Germans were, like, the bad guys all the time in every single movie. It was, like, very late.
Yeah, it was kind of a 2005, like,
that's pretty late.
Pretty odd
Germans.
For Germans, because realistically, let's be honest, America went pretty heavy into the war on terror aspect of every movie's bad guy has to be someone from the Middle East.
Yeah, Hollywood went very heavy into racism after that.
Well, it wasn't after that. It's just,
okay, I'm just saying,
it was just Hollywood either.
It's just that
they changed their focus.
They became the easy bad guy to write, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know.
Are we going to, like, circle back around to Russians?
I feel like we have to, right?
Any day now.
It's got to happen at some point.
A24 is going to come out with, like, a film about the Ukraine war next year, and then it's just going to be full-blown evil Eastern Europeans again.
It's really sad. I mean, one, because you never want to hear about anyone having to deal with anything like what Bruce Willis is having to deal with, but also the fact that, like, he could have made another Die Hard where the Russians were the bad guys, and everyone would have been like, this is great. Bruce Willis is awesome.
Did you see they gave his Razzie back? Or, like, they took it back?
Well, not just that, but they had, like, a whole award category about Bruce Willis. And then once they found out why
he was... the only actor nominated for Worst Picture. Or, like, Worst Actor.
Wait, what?
And then, like, yeah, he was the only person nominated because he's just done a bunch of dog shit films.
He did a bunch of, like, terrible movies. And they were like, we're doing an entire Bruce Willis category where... we're going to give an award to Bruce Willis for one of his terrible roles, and we're just going to pick one of the worst ones. And then it came out why he was doing so many movies, and they're like,
he was, like, basically being forced into it, right?
No, he was doing it to make as much money as possible.
I know he has a disease. Aphasia, yeah.
Yeah, which is basically, like, early dementia. And it's a lot, like, you lose language really fast. So basically, he was making as many movies as possible to have money to take care of his family before he died.
I mean, at least they found that out afterwards and were like, we fucked up, guys. We're sorry. I'm sorry. Did you guys know that this movie actually lost the Raspberry for Worst Picture this year?
Two.
Take a guess.
2005?
Yeah. Or is that right? Release date was 2004, so it would have been the 2005 Razzies, yeah.
Oh.
So any movie that came out in 04.
Oh, I know.
Okay. I imagine Ben might know.
I knew as soon as it came up what year, I was like, I think I know exactly what this is.
Is it a Batman movie?
No, but no, you're on the right track.
Is it Catwoman?
It is, yes. This movie lost the Razzie to Catwoman that year. When it came out.
Which I almost thought about making us watch, but I decided against it.
I had to describe recently the basketball scene to people who have never seen it. And I was like...
It was posted on Reddit recently.
I know this sounds really stupid. Yeah, I know. I was like, I know this sounds really stupid. You just have to go watch it. It's the dumbest scene in a movie I think I've ever seen in my life.
Actually, I feel like we talked about it.
Yeah, we posted it to the chat like a couple weeks ago. And there's like, I would be interested to count. I mean, not really, but you know, I'd be interested to know, I guess, how many cuts are in that one scene.
Jesus, so bad.
I mean, it's got to be like 30, right? Like at least. It's just, yeah. And that's like a 2-minute scene.
There's been movies that we've watched where, and I will say, I feel like this movie was at least funny to watch because you could make fun of so many aspects of it.
Yeah.
But I in the brief time between watching it and starting the recording, I was talking to my wife and I was like, I never again. She's like, is it worse than Shrek Retold? And I said, you know, the thing about Shrek Retold is that I feel like the people who were making it knew it was going to be a meme and knew it was going to be bad. And these people genuinely tried. And it was still utterly terrible. Yeah. It's still unwatchable.
I mean, John Voight definitely phoned it in. I don't know if that was a try. I mean, yeah, of course.
Like I said, I think this movie was just John Voight's beach house.
Yeah.
And the poor girl who played Katie or Kaylee.
Kylie.
His assistant.
Whatever. No, the babysitter.
Okay.
This was probably the one time that she was kind of upset that she was John Voight's goddaughter.
Yeah, I mean, she got an acting credit and probably got paid a little bit.
She probably would, like, brag to all of her friends that she knew John Voight, and, like, she knew John Voight, and then she was telling a bunch of people she's going to be in this movie. She's going to be in this Hollywood movie, and then it came out, and she's like, no, I'm not in it. They cut me out.
Yeah, this she movie
was also
actually
in the Bratz movie.
Oh, no.
And she was in Grey's Anatomy for 14 years.
Wow, really? Crazy. Wow.
Was she in Grey's Anatomy for 14 years, or has the show just been running for 14 years, and she was in, like, 2 episodes?
I think the show's been going for, like, 18 or 20 years.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Oh, my God. They made so many more Baby Genius shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I see that the straight sequel is DVD. Called Baby Geniuses and the Mystery of the Crown Jewels.
Yes. There's also Treasures of Egypt, which is another video. There's Baby Geniuses television series, which came out in 2013. There's Baby Geniuses in the Space Baby, which came out in 2015.
This movie has a rare 0% on Rotten Tomatoes. It's very rare you see a movie with 0 on Rotten Tomatoes, you know? Like, usually someone's like, yeah, I mean, it wasn't so bad. I thought it was all right. And that gets a plus, you know?
And or it's a meme.
This is a 0. Straight up 0.
So, I will say that I felt this movie had no redeeming qualities whatsoever.
Agreed.
Never was there a moment where they did a joke and I actually laughed or chortled or sharp XL'd. Like, none of the jokes hit. None of the humor was funny. The caricature baby where the black baby is like talking like, yo, get a brother or something. I'm like, come on, man. Like,
yeah,
this isn't funny. I get you're attempting a joke, but like,
yeah.
Ugh.
The one part that I kind of was like, all right, that's kind of funny, was when they're like searching Kahuna and they pull out like, I don't know, 30 things out of his pockets.
a tire iron,
a banana, random shit. I like, that was kind of funny, but I agree. Like, there were no great redeeming qualities to this movie at all. Like, at least with Shrek Retold, I mean, I was like, you know, a lot of these people did try really hard and there was some good animation and like the original story is still solid, you know, but yeah, like there's nothing that I could point to in this movie and be like, okay, yeah, you got me there. That was funny. That was legitimately funny. Not like, you know, oh my God, this is so stupid. It's funny again. You know,
like I wish it had that. I know you guys are like, Shrek Retold was bad, but like, at least there were moments where we laughed.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It actually made us chuckle at points. This, I was just laughing at the, like, the shittiness of it, of like, wow, they really tried and tried, and this is what $20 million got us.
Yeah. It's like what Ben said earlier is like, you know, in Shrek Retold, they knew they were making a meme product, right? Like they knew it wasn't going to be like good. You know, it was an interesting experiment and it was a big meme, but it like, you know, they knew it wasn't going to be good. This, they did try to make it entertaining for kids and also adults for, I feel like they needed to pick a lane, but you know, like they didn't do either very well at all, I feel like. And
they didn't spend $20 million on Shrek Retold.
No. Also, this movie only box officed $10 million. So it actually lost money at the box office.
Wow.
It also apparently was never like digitally available anywhere. Like they never put it up for streaming or anything.
And then their thought was, let's make more Baby Geniuses movies. But at least
we got to get back to our roots.
At least we'll direct to DVD those.
Yeah, I was going to say, maybe part of that, it's that, is like, you know, these movies sucked, but we sold a lot of DVDs, maybe, so let's just do that.
Let's just cut the budget, put them straight to DVD, and someone will buy it. Like,
yeah.
You know, a lot of times...
It's an interesting concept.
Because that's an interesting, overseas a lot of the times for distribution... What they do is a distributor will package like one or two good movies with a bunch of shit tier movies that they also have to buy. So like, you know, oh, you want what other movies came out in 2005? Oh, you want Batman Begins? We have a package that'll give you Batman Begins and this, and I don't know what other good movie came out in 2005, but you also have to buy Brokeback Mountain, but you also have to buy Super Baby Geniuses 2. You have to buy Catwoman, and you have to buy Epic Movie. And, like, that's how they sell all of those movies. So maybe direct-to-DVD, they were like, yeah, you know what? It's not going to do well, but when we sell them in a bundle, they have to buy it.
Yeah, it's like when you buy, like, variety packs, and you're like, man, I wish there was just more of this other good flavor. But it's always, you know, they have so many garbage flavors because that's the only... they need fillers, you know? They're like, oh, yeah.
I mean, if I bought a variety pack and one of the flavors was Super Babies, Baby Geniuses, or whatever...
I would stop buying the variety pack.
I would maybe not get that one again.
Yeah.
I'd find a new variety pack.
But what if it was like three copies of The Room and Baby Geniuses 2, you know?
What if in some alternate reality, Tommy Wiseau made three movies, like a whole trilogy of The Room, but in order to buy it, you also had to get Super Babies, Baby Geniuses 2.
Maybe in that case where it was three separate movies. If it was only like three copies of The Room and Super Babies, I don't know.
No.
But if it was like I got three other movies.
It's three other movies in addition to Baby Geniuses 2.
Is it like three separate DVD cases? So I can just throw out the other one? Or is it like all on the same disc and every time?
Well, the other thing with these types of variety packs too is like you can't just buy the flavor you want. You have to buy it. If you want that flavor, you have to buy
it. Yeah, they don't sell it individually packaged.
They don't individually package it. Yeah.
Right. So it's like, you can have, if you want strawberry, great, but you also got to buy grape. You know what I mean?
What you got against grape?
Oh, it's the worst flavor, except for maybe artificial banana, for sure.
I like grape stuff. I think it's good.
I do too. Grape high chooser, fire.
That's okay. I'm going to catch a lot of flack. I like artificial banana flavor. I know it doesn't taste like real banana. But I love it.
Well, I heard something recently that apparently artificial banana is actually modeled off of the previous version of bananas that people used to eat before they went extinct. Because all bananas are genetically identical. And they used to make a certain type of species of banana, but there was a virus that basically took all the banana crops in the world eventually. But now we eat a different type of banana that some dude was just growing in his like greenhouse.
I've also heard that before, that like artificial banana is supposedly like what the like true banana flavor is or something.
Well, I don't know about true, but yeah, it is like, you know, it is like what the original banana people were eating before, more or less tasted
people. The banana people, you know, those bananas in their pajamas.
Okay, the banana people, the bananas people were eating.
Banana people. Banana
which apparently people. Were a lot sweeter than the ones we have now, but I mean, I like bananas now.
I like the Laffy Taffy bananas.
Well, that's what
I don't. I avoid them.
I don't
like
yes.
the plague.
I don't think they're good either.
Yes, Zach. Yes.
All right. Okay. So I mean, what? All right. What flavor would this be then? If you're buying this in a variety pack, what flavor?
flavor?
A realistic flavor. A realistic flavor.
Have you seen what Gen Z's into? Poop. Poop flavor might be an actual flavor.
God.
Like cough syrup grape. Like.
Well, hang on.
Well, hold on. I mean, that's just...
Some people like cough syrup.
Well, that's just grape.
No. There's good grape, and then there's, like, the cough syrup grape.
How about Bang Energy flavored?
There's people who like that,
one?
Too.
There are many energy... I actually liked the one Bang Energy I had before.
Is this,
I don't remember what it was.
They are not a sponsor. Let's
not a sponsor, but they could be.
No.
I don't know.
What's a cucumber? I hate cucumbers, so like
I would not want
oh, like
cucumber
melon
candy.
No. Right, like I hate melon. Cucumber. The like if I taste cucumber in something, it makes me want to throw up.
What about
oh, interesting?
But do you like
fresh.
Them once they're pickled?
Pickled, yes. I
yeah,
like pickles.
You like pickles.
Okay. I like pickles, but
salt.
Like. Actual
yeah.
cucumbers, I
there's
will not eat
There's definitely a different
something.
Taste,
I will
though.
Pick
oh, 100%.
Taste way different than pickles.
Yeah,
I mean,
cucumbers
comparable.
Yeah, they're not really the same.
Pickles are good, and cucumbers are not that good.
Not good at all. Some
sure,
would say.
Yeah.
Some would say.
I think the closest we're getting is ass flavor.
I mean, really, it's an acquired taste. Some people like that. You know?
Well, to me, that ass flavor is grape. And I would, and that would be the flavor that would
give
me pause
grape
about.
Or grape?
Grape. Great.
It's
I'll
great.
Put the
I love
extra
it.
In the mic.
I had to get the through the pop filter.
Yeah. Great. So yeah. Anyway, for to me, Baby Geniuses 2 is basically like the grape flavor. I'm gonna have to accentuate the p every time.
What is the Starburst flavor that everyone hates? Isn't it yellow?
Yellow.
No,
no
I love
hey,
yellow.
No. I fucking love yellow, dude.
There's not a Starburst flavor I don't like.
Yeah, in the original, I agree. I don't think there's a single... I think, like, if I had gun to my head, which is the worst, I would say orange for me, personally. But
oh,
my favorite's
fuck.
Yellow. I love right, yellow.
I got
my
one.
Favorite Starburst.
Fuck. Green jelly bean flavor.
Which, like, what type?
Yeah, which type?
Like, the one that tastes like Windex.
Wait. I mean, Jelly Belly
cilantro?
Has lots of greens.
They're all green to me, man.
Oh, no. Sounds like we're not going to find out because this kid doesn't know colors.
Oh, no. That's a good point, actually.
When he said they're all green to me, I was like, is no one going to talk about the fact that Zach is this colorblind?
Especially this type of colorblindness?
No, there's a... There's
yeah, the green one
that
tastes
like
cinnamon.
Windex.
It's so gross.
You know the green one that tastes like grape? I hate that one.
That's you know the green one that tastes like ass?
Bro, that's just
that's
purple. Okay, I'm looking into it because I realize now that I didn't think to mention this. The Scott Baio's character, Stan Bobbins keeps talking about his because it's like his brother's like I don't know not nursery but like daycare and then they just kind of never talk
like
about why he's not in the picture
right.
at all.
Yeah, and it's like and is it the same is it his daughter that's the person there
it's
then
his,
the
it's
girl
it's his niece.
Well, no, I get that.
Oh, but if
like,
it's
but
that,
saying,
that guy's daughter, they never explain yeah. it. They don't say.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't... They never explain what the significance is there. And then there's even a line where he's like, oh, half-brother, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, I'm his full brother. And John Voight's like, I don't care.
Wait,
but
guys,
there's, like, no significance behind that.
I know we talked... We kind of glossed over it, But John Voight comes back in Baby Geniuses 3.
And the TV show.
And they capitalize they capitalize on the CSI craze by calling it BSI.
Oh my god.
So, question. That's bad. Like, I don't know. So, you know, everyone shits on Nick Cage because he literally just takes any role. But, like, yeah. John Voight's been in 100 movies since the 60s. So he's done, like, at least, like, 1.5
I mean, yeah, it's like 2 movies. That's like it's like 1.5 movies every year.
Is that John Voight's remembered for the movies he did way before he sold out?
Yeah, like Midnight Cowboy, Deliverance.
Yeah, he's remembered for movies he made in like the 60s and 70s. And then, you know, once it got to like the late 90s, you know, I feel like Nick Cage's was just so fast that he went from like top box office draw to
He went from Oscar winner to...
Yeah, and it was just a fast turnaround, whereas John Voight was like, yeah, he's old. He's just making movies for money now. Like, all right. But I feel like there's a lot of people that do that we just kind of gloss over.
That was the other thing, is this movie was just so predictable in a lot of ways. Like, it just had no creative flair at all.
No.
Like, you could see everything coming from a mile away.
Oh, here's this giant backstory about Kahuna and his brother. I wonder who John Voight is.
Oh, his brother speaks in a heavy German accent. Weird. Wonder who else we know with a heavy German accent.
The only other character in the movie with a heavy German accent.
Oh, he's about to press the button. Oh, I bet he turns into a baby, the thing he hates. Oh, yep, he turned into a baby. Man. Oh, here comes this stereotypical early 2000s high school kid, the same age as the babysitter. I bet they're going to do something together. Yep, all right.
It was textbook in that case. And then when it tried to do the little, like, Disney or like child film where it sprinkles in a little adult humor or like adult oriented stuff, that wasn't good. It wasn't fun.
It was not funny.
It missed every time.
And part of that too is it was just so not subtle at all. Like, a lot of the times when I think it's kind of funny is when it's like a little subtle or clever, you know? And like, I think a good example of that is when both kids and adults laugh at the same joke for 2 different reasons.
Yes.
And there's some things like SpongeBob, I thought, did that really well. And there's some other shows and kids' movies that do that really well. But this did not. It was literally like, here's a joke for adults, and that's it. And it's also really obvious. And it's like, okay. Yeah.
Calm down. Don't bite my ear, Miss Tyson.
Yeah. Cool. It's like, oh, come on. Your target audience does not know who that is. And it's also not funny if they don't know who that is.
It's also like the lowest hanging fruit.
Yeah.
Of the humor category. It's like, all right, let's meme on Mike Tyson with something that happened in the 90s.
Right. Also, there were so many like one-liners and quips that were just like so bad.
Oh,
like who is sitting here writing these things?
Like the lowest of the, like, what was the one when they're getting off the boat or whatever? It was like,
I don't know, but there was one that was like, are you a gambling man or something?
Oh, yeah. He's and like, then he like flips the dude win, and he's like, heads, tails, heads.
Yeah. God damn.
If it was like a Schwarzenegger, like, cheesy action one-liner, it almost would have been better.
Oh, it would have been 100% better. I feel like he's like self-aware.
Definitely at this point.
Like, these are bad. You know, he'll say something because it's like, oh, that was cheesy as hell. I mean, it was kind of like, you know, funny or cool or whatever, but it was cheesy as hell. But this movie's not self-aware of how bad it is, you know?
I think we got one good life lesson, which is you can't stop story time, but you can decide to read a good story or a bad story.
In what world do the kids decide that? Like, can they change that, you know? Like, a teacher comes out and is like, all right, it's story time, here's the story. And all the babies are like, no!
I wonder if that was their self-aware moment. Where they were like, you always have to watch a movie. It could either be a good movie or a bad movie. Like,
but in this instance, they chose the bad movie.
I just wish they would have taught us that lesson an hour earlier so I didn't have to sit through that fucking movie to learn it.
Yeah.
You're like, you know what? You're right. I guess I could turn this off at any point in time.
Maybe I should go outside. Too bad they're only telling me about
this. Yeah, they're only telling us about this at the very end when we are already through it.
Also, the self-righteous little, like, hey, I know you're watching a movie, but this caused all the kids to go outside and play, and they're no longer watching television anymore. Oh, okay.
Yeah, that I did find that message odd coming from a movie. It was kind of like, all right, that's a weird take to have. You want kids to watch this, right? Like, your goal is to have kids watch this movie and make money, right? It doesn't feel like that's the goal at many points in the movie, but especially at the end.
It feels like their goal is for no one to watch this movie most of the movie.
Well, I mean, that's their goal now. I mean, they don't make it available anywhere to watch it.
What was the best part of the movie for you guys?
The end.
The end.
For me, it was the end, but it was when the bad guy got to his evil contraption, gave the whole speech about how he finally is about to do his bad thing, and then a pause, and then the kids ran up the stairs and then gave the story time monologue.
Foiled his entire plan by just going upstairs. Yeah. It's like, how
it was
did
hilarious
I not see
that
this
they
coming?
Basically foiled his entire plot by the pincer move. Three of them go up the stairs, like three of them go up the elevator, and that's just enough to solve the day.
Which, there was no one at the elevator. They didn't even need to go to the stairs. The three of them that took the elevator up just went right up to the control.
Also,
he didn't go that way. So, like, he didn't even pay attention to the elevator. He went straight to the stairs to stop him.
This also has, like, two implications. First, in context of the movie, that implies that he has the capability in his lab to do this, like, evil thing. Right? Like,
right.
He could brainwash the entire population whenever he wanted
Kahuna
to.
Kahuna could have brainwashed the entire population this whole time in it from his own lab and just didn't. And second, this implies the existence of United States military children soldiers, right? Like, they were clearly, like, he clearly was working for, like, at least it seemed like he was working for, like, the government or something at some point. And I don't know. It's strange. It's just a strange thing.
Nobody had a favorite part of the movie?
Dude, no, it sucked. The entire thing sucked. My favorite part was the end. It was bad.
I was literally counting down the minutes. We took a break, and there was 40 minutes left.
I love the part where the babies somehow think they're going to drive the minivan.
Oh, yeah, that was funny. And
when they get
like,
caught?
Yeah, you're obviously not driving this.
And it was like, okay, what the fuck is your plan here?
Like, yeah, we'll take the keys and just drive it. And then they get in the van and they try to start it. It's like,
yeah,
you're not driving this. But then they somehow, the babysitter or niece convinces them to go along with this clearly insane person plot. It's like, yes, the babies have their own language and they talk to each other. And you have to trust me. We have to go to the Hollywood sign to this thing. Clearly a crazy person, but they went along with it for some reason. So
none of us had seen this film before, probably a good thing. But you're gonna get four fresh reviews from the Goob Squad. Cameron, lead us off. Let us know what you thought of Super Babies, Baby Geniuses.
I don't think I have anything that I can say that we didn't already say. It was an awful movie. It was really bad. Acting was awful. 1 out of 10.
Solid 1 out of 10.
Yeah. I mean, I do think there's room to go lower, if I'm being honest. Like, it was really bad, but I think there's definitely room to go lower.
This might be the worst movie I've ever seen. Like I said, it's one thing for, like, Birdemic, which I know I tore apart, but at least it had, like, a really low budget. This movie had a $20 million budget, and this is what it gave us? Where did that money... What, did you pay John Voight $18 million to be in this movie and then spend the other $2 million making it? Like, what the... What? Jesus Christ.
Probably $1.5 million on CGI mods for babies.
Like, this movie is utter shit. The dialogue... The dialogue is absolute trash. All of it. All of it's bad. I don't know that there's a redeeming quality to this movie. And like I said, it would be one thing if it were doing it purposefully or it was low budget, so like the people making it even knew it was going to be bad. But I remember this movie coming out in theaters and like having a big marketing campaign surrounding it. And my God, is it utter dog shit. Don't put the effort into looking for it. Just accept that it doesn't exist and pretend it never did. I'm sorry, if it wasn't made clear, I give this movie a 0 out of 10.
There's no room to go down from there, man. You're gonna be really sad when we get to Dylanize movies and you can't go down from 0.
That's okay. I'll live.
This was hard to watch, but it wasn't the hardest movie to watch. It was stupid. The plot. I figured out the movie in 10 minutes. I don't like when they put babies in movies. I just don't like it. Just please stop doing it. And if you're going to do it, give them pants, please. I don't know. Was this... I was thinking of movies. I'm like, was this easier to watch than the Star Wars Holiday Special?
Maybe. That's tough, but I think no. When I'm thinking about this one, I compare it to Birdemic Shock and Terror more so than the Holiday Special. But I mean, I think Ben has a valid point that this is a $20 million budget, you know?
So. Yeah, this is like, well, you were given all the tools and the equipment. You got, you know, a B-list actor, and you went out and you produced a hot pile of dog shit.
At least during Birdemic, there was shit to make fun of. The dialogue in this movie is so bad that I can't even mock it.
Yeah.
Like, there's not even enough to bite into to make fun of it. That's just how bad it is.
Yeah, this movie's loaded with cringe and it's trying to be funny, which adds back into the cringe. I'm torn between a 1 and a 2, and I'm gonna give it a 1.
I'm really hard-pressed to give this lower than a 0. It's physically not possible. Like, I want to give it a negative, but I cannot.
Man, numbers don't go that low. We've seen it.
Dog, I would watch Birdemic over this.
Wow.
Again. Like, Birdemic had nothing on this movie in my eyes. Our bottom five is Birdemic, Food Fight, Star Wars Holiday Special, this, and Shrek Retold at the moment. I'd watch any of those other ones over this. Probably multiple times before I watch this again. This was awful. 20 minutes in, I was like, when is this going to be over? Because this is not good at all. We've said it before. It's not redeeming. It's not funny. It's shit. And it wasn't even like where we could meme on it, like Ben said. Like, at least right. We could joke and crack a couple jokes. Like, we started to at the beginning, and then we were kind of like, are we really going to have to do this for the whole movie to, like, make it somewhat enjoyable? Because it was like...
Yeah, it's one thing when there's a spot in a movie that comes up that, like, oh my God, this was so cringy, we can talk about how shitty this was. Like, the first time you see the birds in Birdemic, right? You're like, oh my God, this is fucking terrible, but it's funny. This movie is like, you see the baby's mouth move, and instead of being like, oh my God, this is hilarious, your thought is, oh my God, we have to watch this shit for an hour and a half.
Or the CGI car. Dude.
Like, and the fact that it was like standard definition probably saved it because it wasn't high enough quality for it to look very bad. I'm giving it a 0. And I feel bad because I gave Birdemic and Food Fight 0s. But this one deserves it more. I went too low last year, and now I'm regretting my decision. But it's a big fat 0. Would not recommend it. Do not waste your time. It's not even fun like The Room or Food Fight or any of those movies. And I hope you enjoy this episode. You can check out Super Babies, Baby Geniuses 2 on the worldwide webs, the seven seas, if you're so choosing. Check us out next week as we watch
the worst rated movie on Letterboxd right now, which is 2025, The World Enslaved by a Virus. It is a movie that was made, obviously, recently, about a world in which meetings are banned, communism has run amok, and Christianity has been outlawed. It is on Tubi with ads, yeah.
Check the show notes below to get your recipe for the Bellini. Head up the Drizzly and Casca links, get some alcohol delivered directly to your door to make that, and share us with your friends and family. As always, watch responsibly.